Greet everyone in Jesus' name this morning. It's been a blessing to be here so far. Appreciated the songs and the singing. Just able to think a lot of thoughts or ponder, do a lot of pondering on the words. That last song we were singing, it's talking about how plants that the shallow root of, or a person who has shallow roots and the roots went against a hard of stone. I don't know exactly how it's worded there, but just the idea of when things, like when there's plenty of water, plants with shallow root, when it rains often, and the conditions are just right, they survive. But when it's dry for a long time and trials come, it shows and they shrivel up and they die. And we have some plants like that on our property. We have some trees that just died. And whether it was just all just because of the roots, I don't know, but it is, you know, it's pretty dry right now, and they didn't make it. We find in Matthew 7, I had to think about this more. Think about this. I think it was Brother DeJohn shared something about last Sunday about, I didn't catch it all, but something about hearing a lot from Matthew 5, 6, and 7. We hear a lot of being preached about that. I didn't get it shared last week, but my thought about that was that, what I think about that is, like, in my Bible, those words are written in red. And to me, those are extra special. But in Matthew 7, I'm going to go to Luke then, but in Matthew 7, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." That we have a nickname for that verse, and it's called the Golden Rule. I think most of us, when we're small, we learn about the Golden Rule. We learned about it in school, but the Golden Rule is just a good, I don't know if you call it like a good rule of thumb to live by. I'm gonna read the same verse in Luke 6, just with a little more context, or not the same verse, but the same teaching. Starting in Luke 6, verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back." And then here it says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." So I don't think it's a coincidence that it's in the context here of returning good for evil. Like it's in that It's in that category, that kind of category of things. One common, I think, misunderstanding that especially young people might have of the golden rule is that we think of it as whatever you don't, if you don't want someone to do something to you, you shouldn't do that to them. Like, and while that's true, or it would be a part of it, it would be included in that, it goes further than that. What you want someone to do to you, you should do that to them. And when we're small, we think we learn, at least I guess speaking from my experience when I was small, like what that meant, just on a very surface, was on a very surface level. It was if I want someone to share with me, then I should share with them. If I want someone to say, say kind things, speak kindly to me, I should speak kindly to them. And things like that. Just kind of on a very surface level, like whatever I would want someone to do to me, I would do to them. But I think it's helpful for us then, as we grow older, to think about the golden rule in a little bit more complex than just on the surface level of whatever I would want someone to do to me in all situations, I should do to them. Because people are complex, relationships are complex, and everyone is different. And there are certain things that you might actually appreciate if someone did to you, but another person, because either just of a difference in a personality, he might not appreciate it. Or sometimes it could be a difference in culture that causes one person to not appreciate something done to them that another person would appreciate. So the golden rule still covers that, I believe, if we just allow our understanding of it to grow and to be a little more complex, and we realize that what we would want someone to do for us is to build a relationship with us, and to find out what the things that we appreciate, the things that we need, the things that we like, and we would want them to do that for us. And so that's what we should do for other people. And I think that can help us as we grow out of childhood and start to realize that relationships can be complicated. Oh, just an example, this would be a simple one, but you might share a type of food with someone and you don't realize it, but it's not something they would appreciate. Thought I had another example, but I can think of a time when I was doing something for someone, just so there's no confusion, it was for my children, and I was doing something that I thought, I guess I probably would have thought, you know, I would appreciate this, and somehow it didn't seem like it was just, they weren't enjoying it. It wasn't being appreciated. They weren't. It kind of seemed obvious, and then my wife admonished them that they should try to show appreciation for what I was trying to do for them. So I think it goes both ways as well, as far as it's kind of a place there where we can go the extra mile. If someone does something for us, they're trying to do it for us, we should try to show appreciation, because I think that's what we would want them to do for us. But we have a tendency to do that, to assume that other people would appreciate the things that we would appreciate. I'm guessing if you think about it, you could think of a time when you thought you were doing something for someone, and all of a sudden you realize this isn't really their thing. They're not really appreciating it, and so. I think there's a principle of going the extra mile that can just take out a lot of the rub or the friction there, if we can both try to find out what our brother appreciates, and then also if we can show appreciation for things that might not be our preference. I think I remember reading the story on Telegram recently about some brothers visiting somewhere where someone was wanting to do something for them, and it wasn't really what they appreciated, but they finally accepted, because it would have been offensive if they had. And I've experienced things like that too in other cultures. But anyway, that's kind of what I have to share on that. I'm going to read down through a few more verses here. That was verse 31. I'll read that. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you... Well, that was... I think 36 is where I was going to stop, so I'll just stop there and just open it up to brothers if you have anything you'd like to correct or share or add.
I'm glad to be here with you all again, and appreciated the thoughts Norman has shared and brought out. Appreciated that you read those last verses. I was going to read them if you didn't. After those last ones in Luke, after the do to others as you would have them do to you. Kind of interesting there how it it sandwiches the directions first of all, and then do to others as you would have them do to you, and then it kind of repeats like the same things. But you know, if you only do these things to those that do them back to you, you know what's that? I mean, any carnal person will do the same. But anyway, that's some of my favorite verses, and I've said this before. You probably remember me bringing it up before, but if you really think about that little verse, if we all did that, we don't need anything else. We don't need any other guidelines or rules or anything. Like, if we can get down to the essence of doing to others as we would have them do to us, like it says there in Matthew, for this is the law and the prophets. Like, this is what it's all about. This is all we need. Like, we don't need, you know, we shouldn't go take something from our neighbor, or we shouldn't do this, that, or the other. Like, if we get a hold of that one little verse, like, it'll take us a long way. Anyway, so thank you for talking about that, Norman. Appreciate it. Lord bless you.
Amen, Brother Norman. It's something that we're striving for perfection, for our last breath, to be like that, to treat others the way that we want to be treated. And thank you, Leroy, for your comments. It was good edification. I looked up the word instinct last week. And I had to, getting older, I guess I want to say, what is the dictionary definition of instinct? And it said it's something that's done by nature, natural, like a dog or a cat. They follow things by instinct. But us being made in the image of God, we have choice, right? We have free will. It's the basic a theme of the scriptures, I believe. And man has said, Brother Norman said, you know, the golden rule. Well, that's not in the scriptures, the golden rule. That's the royal law. Amen. And that's definitely a thing. But the golden rule is man made. The silver rule is Hammurabi's code. Don't do unto others as you don't want. Or how does it go? Don't do unto others as you said that, as you don't want it to be done to you. So, I don't know if I'm making an original, but maybe I've heard it before, but I'll make one up. It's called the Platinum Rule. What's the Platinum Rule, Brother Brett? What's that? The Platinum Rule. Paul said it in Philippians. Anybody? I'm making it up. Max? Platinum. You know, silver is, you know, precious. Gold is a little more. And platinum is the top, right? Platinum is the most precious metal. At least it was years ago. So what would be the platinum rule, Atlee? Come on. The platinum rule. Think of others as more important than yourself, right? I mean, it's hard to just have your enemies than your neighbor. But go for the... Think of your neighbor. Honor Romans and what else? Romans and there's another scripture that says, think of others more important than yourself. And the last point would be on love. You mentioned what you did for your children, and then Maria said, why don't you be thankful? And of course, in the scriptures, David, before Abigail appeased him, you know, he said, didn't I protect his army, protected the shepherds, and they did all that? And he didn't get any gratitude, and he would say, I'm going to slay them all because I've been doing good to them and they didn't do bad and they didn't repay me. But that's not 1 Corinthians 13. Love does not seek its own. It doesn't keep account. And I appreciated what his said about love yesterday, you know, in the chat box about Walter Jr. saying love. Yeah, love doesn't count. I mean, love doesn't say, well, I did 15 good things and Walter, you only did 4. Love doesn't keep score because we're all guilty before God. The Lord be magnified.
Another thing I was going to say is the last few years that I taught school, I tell my school children the first day of school, like, we're only going to have one rule. And if there's going to be any more rules, like, it'll be rules that they made. Like we'll have this one rule, we do unto others as we would have them do to us. But if they can't follow that rule, and it becomes necessary, then we'll have to make more rules. But it'll be because they made it.
Did you have to make new rules, John?
There were years when we didn't have too many. So we used to have to add a few here and there as necessary.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Norman. It was it was pretty basic in one sense, but at the same time, I mean, it really is like the centerpiece of obviously how God wants us to live. And I guess one thought that I had here, just listening to Norman, I guess maybe I don't know if I ever thought about this before, but I think since we hear that so much as Christians, maybe y'all have thought about this before. Some here have thought about this. I guess I'm not sure if I ever have, because we just hear it all the time. But if we were just kind of put ourselves in the shoes of the people that for the first time are hearing Jesus preach, and whether it's in that sermon or whether it's in the conversations that he had with the Jewish leaders, I know it just seems kind of to me, it really is kind of brilliant for somebody to like know the law and to come down to make a statement like the whole law and the prophets can be summed up in this. And then he makes those statements about treat others as you'd want to be treated. Don't do anything to anyone you wouldn't want it done to you. I don't know if y'all would agree with me, but to me, if they'd never really heard that, or just a little bit of in this big long legislation that Moses is laying out, where he mentions things like that, I'm actually trying to find it in the Old Testament where Moses kind of talked that way a little bit, but it's sort of like a pin in a big bale of straw or something, you know, it's all mixed together. And for somebody to really catch that and just state that, I mean, it just reminds me of how in Proverbs Solomon says that the person that pursues wisdom, you know, God'll give it to him. And I guess all that to say, it's really a very, very strong testimony to who Jesus is. I mean, for him to make that claim, and maybe claim is not the right way to state it, but for him to have that insight and share with such conviction, and whether it's, you know, the one-on-one conversations you see him in one gospel where he's talking to Pharisees, and it's Jesus that made the declaration and the going back and forth with the Jewish leaders, and then in the other gospel, I think it was a Pharisee or Sadducee, probably a Pharisee, that said that, and then Jesus complimented him after he made that statement. But yeah, I mean, you'd have to really be paying attention to so much, you know, those five books, especially from Exodus to Deuteronomy, which is the stuff that Moses is telling him where the laws would be contained, to come to that conclusion. So, yeah, it's amazing. People talk about it all the time. I heard somebody the other day. They made this statement. Of course, they didn't give credit to where it came from, but little mouse about to jump on me here. Anyway, sort of some thoughts.
Take my life and let Take my hands, Who could make a ransom? Through the world.